This is Jodeci, and this is Night Owl's Late Night Podcast. Tonight's episode will be called Counting Compassion, which is also the title of tonight's essay written by yours truly. It's about my time having gone over to Buddhism and wanting mala beads for the very first time. So with that context, here we go. When I converted to Buddhism, I wanted mala beads. That was the first thing on my mind. The 108 count seemed to me to be the qualifier of authenticity for any quality Buddhist rosary that I would don on my wrist. I wanted it to be legitimate, something that, though I'm grateful for my religious freedom in life, I was lacking because I had yet to find my place. My place was not in the convents of Catholicism, which my mother seemed to know in about a foresight before my birth, and so did not make me go through the rites of passage that a child with a Catholic upbringing would. In the beginning, this was a negative because I felt out of place in a Catholic Christian nation. I had not read the Bible, and this was always made apparent in the sprinklings of religious education that was given prior to college. At first, I brushed it off, thinking it no big deal because it was not a much talked about subject in school. I wanted to find a religion that I could talk about. I wanted to feel the way about my mala beads that my grandmother feels about her Catholic rosaries that she had collected for years. To feel the tactile sensation of fingering one's beads and of counting them as I do now with my mala beads. I want them smooth and even more rounded than when they arrived over the anticipation of many years of fingering and counting. The structure of mala beads is done purposely so that you can count the beads like a rosary. You start at what is called the guru bead, a bead that is not a different color from the other 108, but is big and has two smaller beads attached to the bottom of it. This is normally where the mala beads are tied off. Normally, the beads that are another color from the majority are called counting beads, and there are three of these. There are 27 beads between each counting bead, and there are four sections, not including the counting beads and the guru bead, which makes 108 beads, but in actuality, there can be 12, 27, 54, or 108 beads on any given mala bead rosary. There are endless explanations for this. Some of them are being that there are 108 energy lines that make up the heart chakra, one of which is said to be the path to self-realization. Another is that there are 54 letters in the Sanskrit alphabet, which is the language that the Mahayana canon of the Buddhist teachings is written in. One more is about 9 and 12 hold spiritual significance in many traditions, and 9 multiplied by 12 is 108. But all this knowledge came after I had entered the halls of Albertus Magnus, a Dominican school where the religion was at the forefront of our learning. From the mission of the school to the semi-weekly masses and other days set aside to honor the creativity of some learned figures in the Dominican tradition, to the call for prayer sent out for people as close as our community to the world at large. One time that the fact that my beliefs were wanting expansion was when I went with my friend Shelby to a mass set aside on a particular day to honor Saint Francis. I remember thinking how nice everyone was, but how badly I wanted it to be over, because my religious training up to that point was non-existent and left me woefully unprepared. Luckily, my friend Shelby was a devout Protestant and knew the Bible backwards and forwards, so she kept coaching me through the Mass and told me how to give the sign, a crossing of the arms over the chest, that I had not had communion. Which, when you're in a room of people who have, and you're 20 years old, it can be kind of embarrassing. Nevertheless, I made it through virtually unscathed, my dignity intact. In those days, especially, I could not fill 108 days with prayer like I used to when I was a child. Those late high school to collegiate days had given way to anger and unwillingness to surrender control to what, in those days, I thought was a cop-out on the part of God. Giving my mother a cancer diagnosis, which they had no idea how she got medically. So my adolescent brain thought this is the work, or lack thereof, of God, and that he could have prevented the matter altogether with the almighty power that he was. My days were filled with navigating tears and a distinct lack of an answer to one of life's biggest questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? I stopped praying at night, gradually at first and then altogether, and stopped wearing crosses, something that had adorned my neck for years. Told no one of my new lack of faith, even if they did know the diagnosis, and no one ever noticed the difference, which might have contributed to it feeling even worse. But unbeknownst to me was something that I had the ability to do all my life, having had a lack of scripture in my life, and especially now, at this crossroads of faith, the great freedom that was at my fingertips, I had just been too unaware to use it. It wasn't until I was in the undergraduate level of my education that I became fascinated with religion, of all types, but especially with Buddhism. This was because of an introductory course into all the mainstream religions that were not Christianity, a course that in its inception was probably meant to give us a fuller, more rounded experience and view of religion. That is exactly what happened with me. We went through three religions, all widely worshipped in the world by the seat of our pants. Their names were Judaism, Hinduism, and Buddhism. Our wise old owl that would be guiding us through the forest and teaching us how to see the forest and not just the trees was the old and lovable, charming and curious Jeremiah Coffey. With him, I would spend time after class discussing topics like Reiki, which his wife was a practitioner of, and denying what now seems like the foreshadowing of my graduate school experience. His inquiries into whether or not I was sure I was not Buddhist, because my worldview right from the rip was very Buddhist. The last thing I needed was the type of beads that I wanted, which was something I was particular about. This I narrowed down by doing research and quickly stumbled upon tiger's eye and obsidian, which are both good for the removal of negative energy, something I desperately needed as I was always trying to be positive and wanted to have a high vibration. It was also perfect for mental clarity, which would serve me faithfully in my writing and other pursuits. Whether they be intellectual or spiritual, the expression of both these things culminates into works that I write with the craft of writing. Writing is my way of worshiping. And that's all, folks. Sorry you got a little, might have lost you a little bit at the end there with the switch between Jeremiah Coffey's conversations with me and getting back to the actual beads on the mala bead rosary. But Jeremiah Coffey was a good teacher of mine, and we did have conversations about Reiki and about Buddhism, and I had some other conversations with another teacher in undergraduate, but in my senior year, and he was teaching spiritual but not religious. His name is escaping me right now, and if he's listening to this, he'll be like, "That's me," but I'm sure if he's listening, he knows that it's him. So my journey with Buddhism has been long, vast, and involved many books, including the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which is a very long read and a very long, basically, instruction manual on how to grieve and care for the body of the deceased after they have died, obviously, and to find out like where they went and in what realm they reincarnated in, because there are five realms. There's the god realm, the demigod realm, the human realm, the animal realm. Six. And the sorrowful spirits realm, and the very angry hell being sort of realm. That's not officially the name, but it's kind of how I remember it, because it's always like that place in Christianity where you do not want to go. And you might think that the God realm is the perfect realm, but it's actually not, because you get kind of consumed by your desires and pleasure because everything's perfect there and you have an ethereal body, and you kind of get lost in greed and things like that, and the spirits kind of get lost in sorrow for being spirits, and the hell beings, well, they're hell beings, they deal a lot with anger and violence and fire and brimstone and all that stuff. So don't want to go to any of those places. They say the best realm is the human realm. At least that's what Norman Fisher says. And if when you greet me, I bow. The book I'm currently reading. So thanks for listening. And I hope you have a lovely night. Thank you. Thank you, my lovely listeners. And good night.